Justice Gorsuch has the opinion of the court this morning in case 23-175, City of Grants Pass versus Johnson.
According to the federal government, homelessness has reached its highest levels since it began reporting data. Why people become homeless is complex and often beyond their control. Economic conditions, domestic violence, and mental health and drug addiction sometimes play a role. Doubtless, other causes play a role too. With the rise of homelessness, the federal government reports that there are today more homeless encampments in this country than there have been in nearly a century. Often these encampments are found in a city's poorest and most vulnerable neighborhoods. Cities tell us that these encampments have contributed to a rise in crime against both the homeless and other local residents, crimes including sexual assaults and shootings. Communities of all sizes are grappling with how best to address challenges like these. Many charitable organizations offer emergency shelter. Many state and local governments are working to increase affordable housing. Many, too, have reinvested in mental health and substance abuse treatment programs. Some states and cities have chosen to pair these efforts with the enforcement of laws restricting camping on public property. Laws like these are found in communities across the country. The federal government likewise restricts encampments on its parklands. These public camping laws are not without their critics. Some say they do more harm than good. But many cities report that they do not deploy these laws as a frontline response. Instead, they say public camping laws are an important secondary tool, one they use to address particular encampments that pose significant health and safety risks, and to encourage those who are homeless to accept safer alternatives like shelters, drug treatment programs, and mental health facilities. Public camping laws, many cities say, are just one tool in the toolbox, but one they need to tackle the homelessness crisis in their communities. 5 years ago, in a case called Martin versus Boise, the Ninth Circuit held that the Eighth Amendment's ban on cruel and unusual punishments barred the city from enforcing its public camping ordinances. Neither before nor after Martin has any other circuit in the country followed the Ninth Circuit's view of the cruel and unusual punishments clause. But inside the Ninth Circuit, as one of our lower court colleagues put it, if you pick up a map and point at a city, there's a good chance that city has already faced a judicial injunction forbidding it from enforcing its camping laws. Today's case involves one such injunction against the city of Grants Pass, Oregon. The city, like many others, has deployed multiple strategies to address homelessness. A liaison officer coordinates with the city's shelter to support local homeless communities. The city instructs its police officers that homelessness is not a crime and encourages them to render aid to the homeless whenever possible. The city also has public camping laws on the books, but relying on Martin, the Ninth Circuit enjoined their enforcement. Cities across the Ninth Circuit, from Anchorage to Phoenix, Honolulu to Las Vegas, urge us to take this case to review the Ninth Circuit's course since Martin. Organizations representing thousands of other cities, counties, and public officials called for our review as well. They tell us that while Martin was well-intentioned, it has made their jobs harder. Harder because most of their offers of shelter and assistance now go rejected by homeless individuals, many of whom cite Martin as their justification to permanently occupy public spaces. Meanwhile, these cities say shelter beds sit empty. Grants Pass's own local shelter reports exactly that experience in the wake of the injunction against the city. We agree to take this case to consider whether the Ninth Circuit was correct in holding that the Eighth Amendment prohibits the enforcement of public camping laws. As our opinion explains, the Constitution does impose many limits on what governments may declare to be criminal. The First Amendment prohibits governments from enforcing laws targeting speech. The Equal Protection Clause prevents the enforcement of laws that discriminate invidiously. The Due Process Clause guarantees a fair trial and a fair tribunal. One could go on. But the Eighth Amendment serves a different purpose. It does not address what conduct a state may declare unlawful. Instead, it concerns what happens after a criminal conviction. In prohibiting cruel and unusual punishments, it focuses on the kind of punishment a government may impose, not on what behavior it may criminalize in the first place. The text and history of the clause has long supported that understanding. So has this court's precedence, with one exception. In a case called Robinson versus California, this court in 1962 faced an unusual California law that made being a drug addict a crime. The court held that the Eighth Amendment does not permit a government to make a person's mere status criminal. It would have been a different case, the court stressed, if California had made it unlawful for anyone, even an addict, to use drugs. But California had not done that. And in focusing on status rather than actions, the court held, the state had crossed a line. Indeed, California's status-based law was so unusual that the court had not encountered one like it before, nor has it since. More than a half century after Robinson, the Ninth Circuit suggested for the first time that public camping laws cross the line we drew in Robinson. That assessment was mistaken. Through much of the nation's history, cities across the country have prescribed, as Grants Pass does, the act of public camping. They do not criminalize the status of being homeless. In this respect, public camping laws are nothing like the unusual law at issue in Robinson that made the status of being an addict a crime. Instead, they are exactly like the law Robinson said California could have pursued, making criminal the act of using drugs, even by an addict. The plaintiffs before us essentially acknowledge all this. So rather than apply Robinson, they ask us to extend Robinson. They argue that we should hold that the Eighth Amendment bans laws focused on acts that are in some sense involuntary. Put another way, they argue that public camping laws may address acts rather than status, but they make acts homeless people, they make unlawful acts that homeless people cannot help but undertake. Put another way still, they say public camping laws may not directly target status, but they effectively do so. The trouble is, this court has already considered whether to extend Robinson in this way and rejected it long ago in a case called Powell versus Texas. There, Justice Thurgood Marshall wrote that the court had no authority under the Eighth Amendment to go beyond Robinson and forbid states and cities from regulating acts that might, in some sense, flow from a status. So yes, the court said, a state may punish the act of using drugs even by addicts, and it may punish public drunkenness even by alcoholics. As Powell put it, a state may regulate acts even if they are impelled by a status the defendant cannot easily alter. Justice Marshall drew this firm line because the Eighth Amendment's text, again, focuses only on punishments after criminal convictions, and it provides, as he put it, quote, no limiting principle that would serve to prevent this court from becoming the ultimate arbiter of the standards of criminal responsibility throughout the country. Unaided by anything in the Eighth Amendment, Justice Marshall said, judges would be left to write into the Constitution their own formulas and proceed by fiat, his words. Not only does Justice Marshall's precedent in Powell control us here, his warnings speak wisely too. Consider just a few of the questions the Ninth Circuit has had to confront since Martin. Under Martin, cities must allow public camping by those who are involuntarily homeless. But how are city officials to know what it means to be involuntarily homeless, or whether any particular person meets that standard? Posing the questions may be easy, but answering them has proven not to be. Is it enough that a homeless person has turned down an offer of shelter, or does it matter why? Cities routinely confront individuals who decline offers of shelter for any number of reasons. How are cities to know which are sufficiently weighty to qualify a person as involuntarily homeless? To be sure, the Ninth Circuit in Martin sought to head off these complexities through a formula of its own creation. The Ninth Circuit said that a city must consider individuals involuntarily homeless and thus entitled to camp on public property whenever the city's homeless population exceeds the number of adequate shelter beds. But city officials report that it is all but impossible for them to maintain an accurate accounting of their homeless populations on any given day. In Los Angeles, for instance, officials tell us it takes 3 days to count the homeless population block by block, and that with the participation of thousands of volunteers. Beyond those complexities lie others. Suppose cities could keep a running tally of their homeless citizens, and suppose they could keep a live inventory of available shelter beds. Even so, cities face questions over which shelter beds count as adequate under Martin. Is a shelter bed adequate for a smoker if the shelter requires residents to abstain from smoking? Is a bed adequate for an atheist if the shelter includes religious messaging? Different courts in the Ninth Circuit have answered these very questions in very different ways. There are more problems still. The Ninth Circuit held that involuntarily homeless individuals cannot be punished for camping with materials necessary to protect themselves from the elements. But how far does that go? Some judges in the Ninth Circuit have suggested that cities need allow only blankets on public property. That is the view the plaintiffs in the case before us propose. But other judges and other plaintiffs have suggested and indeed held that permanent encampments, campfires, and much more must be tolerated too. The Ninth Circuit's experience since Martin illustrates what Justice Marshall knew. Nothing in the Eighth Amendment's Cruel and Unusual Punishments Clause provides easy answers to difficult questions like these, nor does it give federal judges the power to impose their own views on cities across the country. To answer hard questions like these, judges must, as Justice Marshall put it, write their own formulas into the Eighth Amendment. Despite all this, the plaintiffs today ask us to nationalize the Ninth Circuit's Martin experiment and usher federal courts into the role of setting homelessness policy nationwide. To do otherwise, they warn, would leave the homeless without any meaningful legal protections. We reject that view. Our decision today concerns only the scope of one specific clause of the Eighth Amendment. Many other provisions of the Constitution exist to protect the homeless and all Americans, including the due process guarantee against selective prosecutions and the Equal Protection Clause's requirement demanding that all citizens be treated equally before the law. Other legal protections exist too. Many jurisdictions recognize a necessity defense to charges of public camping. And nothing prevents cities or states from taking their public camping laws off the books altogether. Indeed, after this suit began, Oregon itself amended its laws to narrow the authority of cities like Grants Pass to regulate public camping. The cities before us know well the seriousness of the homeless crisis, but many also report that Martin has only made matters worse. Almost 200 years ago, a visitor to this country marveled at the energy and civic engagement of the American people. And if the multitude of briefs from cities and states across the country in this case prove one thing, it is the American people are trying to bring that same energy and skill to bear in efforts to address homelessness that face the most vulnerable among us. A handful of federal judges cannot begin to match their collective wisdom. And while the Eighth Amendment serves many important functions, it does not authorize federal judges to take from the American people the right and the responsibility to dictate the nation's homelessness policy. The judgment of the Ninth Circuit is reversed. Justice Thomas has filed a concurring opinion. Justice Sotomayor has filed a dissenting opinion for herself, Justice Kagan, and Justice Jackson.